So welcome to the Leadersmith podcast. We are starting an entirely new segment. It is called Notable Quotables. And you're going to enjoy this because all I'm doing is finding some important character, somebody who has taught us a lot about leadership, and then we're just going through a number of their quotes. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so on the show with me today, I have a good friend. I grew up with this guy. His name is Tim Prairie. He was 4 years behind me as we were growing up. We're in the same high school, same church. And it has been a long time since I've seen this guy. I am so happy to have him on the podcast. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, so, you know, and the way that we got here was because I'm doing this segment on notable quotables, and I started with Jim Rohn. And I had planned to do this for a long time, and then Tim was out on a Facebook forum. It's Facebook/groups/learnleadership. And he said, I don't remember what the thread was, but he said, I mentioned Jim Rohn somewhere along the way. I'm like, hey, I was just about to talk about him on a podcast. He's like, really? I've listened to everything that he's done. I was like, wow, we need to have you on the podcast. If you've listened to everything that, because he's very prolific. And I can't have Jim Rohn on because he's dead. So, so Tim, you're stepping into big shoes. So all we're going to do is kick around some of his quotes and just, you know, see what you think, and let's just kick it around and talk about it. So in this segment, what I want to do is just talk about quotes. Now, he talked about success, right? His whole shtick was he was a philosopher of success, right? Now, but we're just going to focus on leadership here. So, for the sake of time. So, here, the first one, and just chime in. Let me know what your thoughts are as we go through these quotes. The first one is, for things to change, you have to change. Pretty yes. Amazing. I mean, we know that that's true, but we don't normally think about it. What do you think?
Yeah, Jim used to talk a lot about the seasons, right? He'd say, you know, what comes after spring, summer, what comes after summer, fall and winter, and so on. And that it's been that way for eons past, and it's not going to change going into the future. Don't try to change it. Don't try to change the things that you can't change. If you want to see a change, you have to change. That was a powerful thing for me to learn in my, you know, probably early mid 20s. When you have your list of excuses, the list of things that oh, I'm not doing well because of this or that or the other thing, and you go, oh, I guess I got to look at myself here. And, yeah. And one of his other extremely popular quotes, and I hope I don't steal thunder for a future quote here. He would say, don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better.
Yeah. You just stole thunder. So
oh, sorry. Yeah, we'll come back to that one.
A little bit. For things to change, you have to change. You can't get to where you're trying to be if you stay at the same level. And there's something so profound about it. And you can't shed responsibility. Society is to blame. It's the system. It's whatever else. No, you have. I remember. I don't remember who it was exactly, but somebody is watching. So I read prolifically, right? I read a lot of self-help, success, leadership kind of books, those kind of things. And I watch these on YouTube and wherever I can find them. And there was one guy that even was saying, like, look, if it rains, it's my fault. And when you take that level of responsibility, even if it's not your fault, but like, you know, you have to at least brace up against it. If not, you know, you're certainly not controlling it. But when you take that level of responsibility, you're going to be a success. Okay. Number two, you must take personal responsibility. You cannot change the circumstances, the seasons, the wind, but you can change yourself. That is something you have charge of. And I want to couple that with another quote that he says, It is a set of the sails, not the direction of the wind, that determines which way we will go. Go.
That's right. That's for me. I think that was probably the most pivotal shift in my philosophy, personally speaking, as far as my leadership goes. It's not the blowing of the wind, but the set of the sail. That is such like a, you know, I'm an outdoorsman. I love to be out in the wilderness and, you know, been sailing and all these things. And that principle is such a profound principle if you really dig into it. That idea that the same wind blows on everybody. Mm-hmm. We all have the same wind. And yet some people seem to get somewhere with that wind while others are just, their sails are just flapping. Yeah. And so what does it take, or what are you going to have to do to trim your sails to catch that wind and have it bring you to where you want to be a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? That's such a deep thought if you really dive into that idea.
His whole solution there is that you must take that personal responsibility. And that's the difference between the successful and the non-successful. Because look, so somebody was born with $1 million, we weren't, right? But that's okay. We weren't. I mean, what are we going to do with what we have been given, and how are we going to steward those resources, and how are we going to, right? So instead of cursing that person that's a millionaire, no, go make it happen by taking that personal responsibility. Anything else on that before I move on?
You know, I think that idea that you just kind of shared is kind of an important one as well. It's not necessarily a Jim Rohn quote, but that idea of, you know, well, and Jim talked a lot about personal responsibility, but this idea that like, oh, well, those guys are doing good because they started with $1 million and I started with nothing. Mm-hmm. That's a ridiculous argument to make. You know how many people win the lottery, win millions of dollars in the lottery, mm-hmm. and then in a year they're like worse than they started. Jim did used to say, you know, if somebody gives you $1 million, you better become a millionaire real quick. Otherwise,
you better grow into it. That's right.
Yeah.
Right. You have to become more in order to hang on to that. Otherwise, it's going to – I was just watching something not too long ago where he was saying, look, if you'd have redistributed all the money, that money in a few years would find its way back into the pockets of the same people because they have made themselves more. They're able to contain it. All right. Next one. Effective communication. I love this. I actually just quoted this not too long ago in a Twitter Tuesday episode. Effective communication is 20% what you know and 80% how you feel about what you know. Isn't that right? So, I mean, when you think that you're saying something and the text is one thing, but then they don't feel the subtext, they feel the subtext. We were talking on I'm just in the Facebook forum not too long ago where I don't remember what the context was, but I said, you know, I can't remember any time I've ever been mad at you. I can never remember. What I have associated in my head with Tim Prairie is nothing but good stuff. Right. No. And so you're going to feel that association. Right.
You also have a team in 20 years. So. Yeah,
20 years also makes it. But no, I mean, seriously, all through growing up, I can't remember any time I've ever been upset or had an argument with you or anything. Like, this is like one of the most good natured people I know. But you can feel whether I actually care or actually don't care. And so that 80% of how you feel about what you know, man, that's powerful. Go.
How you feel about what you know, and also how you know, it comes to that, what people pick up from you, they pick up a lot more than just your words. I kind of think that's where you're going with that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, your leadership goes well beyond your words. You could say all the right things to your people, right? Like, I have a bunch of employees and I can go say all the right things, but if they know my heart is not there, if they know that I'm saying one thing and then doing something else, my credibility is, as their leader, is gone. And they might fall in line because they have to, because, you know, I'm their appointed leader for their job. So if they want to keep their job, they have to do what I say, and they'll moan and grumble. But when people know that you care, when people know, like, and they could feel that, they understand that, and it's more than just words, I think that leads to a very significant impact in your leadership of people.
Yep, sure does. Okay, I got to move on. A good objective of leadership is to help those who are doing poorly to do well, and to help those who are doing well and help those who are doing well do even better. Right? Yeah. I mean, your objective of leadership it's not about you. It's about helping them.
Did you ever meet Rick Kirschman?
Rick Kirschman.
He was a guy from High BA. Like, I don't want to get. Yeah. So he's a missionary.
In Japan or something with Donna.
Right. Missionary in Russia.
And that's Russia. That's right.
One time he told me this, and I think it goes well swimmingly with what we're saying. He said, the best leaders are the ones that look for people that can do a better job than they do and build them up. They can take the thing that you're doing further than you can take it. And it's like, man, so many leaders are threatened by that idea. Like, they're trying to blockade their little place on the podium or whatever. But when you find people that can do things better than you and put them in those places, it doesn't hurt your leadership. It doesn't hurt your place in the organization.
No, you look like a superstar.
It's amazing. So I've kind of taken that philosophy as my own, and I've always been looking, anytime I'm looking to hire, looking to hire people right now, actually, and I'm looking for people that can take what I've done and maybe even take it further. And I think that's a powerful principle.
Okay. So let's look at the other end of that spectrum, not the people that are better, but the people who don't see it. He says this: managers help people see themselves as they are. Leaders help people to see themselves better than they are. What do you think of that?
I like that. That's
it's pretty deep. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, as a leader, you're calling out something that you see in them that they can't even see themselves, to help them grow and help them get to the next level.
Right. And if I think about people in my life that have been effective leaders for me, often I think of the people that saw the diamond in the rough in me and gave me opportunities that I probably had no business having at the time, or because they saw something, they saw something in me that they felt was worth digging into, and giving me that opportunity. And so, yeah, that's a absolute strong principle of leadership, and looking for that in your people and then building them in those areas.
Think about anybody who deals with middle school kids. Like your dad, my dad, Dan Schaefer, those. I mean, think about people that see when we're like in the most gangly period of our lives and have nothing going on, they still see and call something out. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I got to move to the next one. Leadership is the challenge to be something more than average.
Mm.
How about that?
Absolutely. I think it's so easy to just do what you're supposed to do. You get a job, at a, play, wherever you're working, and you just do what you're expected to do. You work your 9 to 5 hours. You don't come in there like, well, if they're not going to pay me more, I'm not going to, put in more or whatever. And you just do the thing. And that, it doesn't help you grow. It doesn't help them grow. It doesn't help anything. All you're doing is kind of surviving. And when you go that extra mile, that's when
expand. That's right. That's you have to. You can't do what everybody else is doing and expect different results. I mean,
Jim used to say, it's a ladder, not a bed. It's a ladder. Yeah, like
that's right.
You don't come into a place and just lay in there in bed. Like, it's a ladder. You climb the ladder. You put the hat on when you're taking the trash out and whistle a tune, it'll pay you an extra dollar, right? Yeah.
I show that clip in class. That's great.
So good.
That's right. So it's going to minimum wage. That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. That's funny. Okay. Along the same lines, give whatever you're doing and whoever you are with the gift of your attention. Yeah, I mean, you gotta be all in. You gotta be there, not just take out the trash, but with a positive attitude and whistle a tune and whatever. That's exactly right.
Okay, it's a hard one. It's a hard one when things are complicated, right? Like in my industry right now, in the camp world, things are complicated, and we're trying to figure it out. And people want stuff, and they're asking for things, and you're just trying to keep things on track. But to stop and give people your attention can be hard sometimes. But it's definitely worth striving for.
Yeah, he says, achieving wealth and greatness can be distilled down to helping others. Find a way to serve many people. Simply stated, this is what leads to great wealth, great power, and great influence.
Mm.
Yes. Helping other people. Speak to it.
Yeah. Is there any other way, right? Like, I think as you develop. Like I've never been super money motivated, right? Of course, I want my family to be well taken care of, and I want to, have my kids have opportunities maybe that I didn't have, or maybe that, you know, in this world or whatever that might be. But what does it mean for somebody to be wealthy, right? For them, you know, somebody could say, for me to be wealthy, I need X amount of millions of dollars. And for somebody else, it could be, I just want to have time to play with my kids on the weekends or whatever. So when you ask yourself, like, what is your kind of measure of that in your life, and get real with it and make those goals and go towards those things. Can you kind of say the quote again?
Yeah. So you went off on the second part. The first part was achieving wealth and greatness can be distilled down to helping others.
Helping others. Yes.
Yeah.
And in everything in life, right? Like your relationships with people, you know, bring value to every single situation. So whether you want to make millions of dollars, like financially, or you want to have a deep personal equity with people, all of those things, it takes a team. It takes people. You know, actually, Jim used to say, you know, it's hard to find a hermit, a hermit who's a millionaire, right? It takes relationships, and sometimes those relationships can be difficult. But when you build other people up, that, you know, success follows that.
Yeah, and so as you were talking, I was thinking through the same kind of thing. I challenged my class, show me any great thing that has been done just by one individual. And I'm qualified that by himself. I don't mean that he's one great individual after he's been trained by other great individuals or at, you know, with other people's stuff. Like even Einstein, he had been trained before he got to that place. I mean, he's standing on the shoulders of all his teachers. You can't find it. It doesn't happen.
Exist. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Next one. Integrity is the most valuable and respected quality of leadership. Always keep your word.
Yes. Yes. Even as a, you know, I think when I had kids, that became an even deeper lesson for me. Right. I think it was my father who shared with me, like, you know, yeah, I'd heard the, you know, the let your yes be yes my whole life or whatever, but in relation to like even discipline, right? Whether it be disciplining your kids, disciplining your employees, if you say something like, if you do this, I will do that on either the positive side or the negative side of whatever that might be, and then you don't follow through with that, your integrity is blown up. Mm-hmm. If your mentality is do what I say, not what I do, you're integrity is blown up. And how much value is there in integrity? I think in today's world, it's maybe an undervalued virtue, you know. Yeah. It's so easy to kind of put one view of yourself up on Instagram or whatever and live a different life, and then you know, treat your family different than you treat the people at work or whatever that might be. But when you're in, you know, the idea of shalom, right? Like peace, you're in peace with not just in peace with people around you. You're in peace with God, and you're also at peace with yourself. When you can bring those three things into kind of into alignment, and you can be in that idea of shalom, like where you're in peace with others, you're at peace with yourself, and you're at peace with God. Your integrity is remaining intact in all situations.
Yeah. And that's, there's a little bit more to the word picture. It's also in the middle of the storm. So while everything else is going on around you, you're at peace with yourself, with God, and with others. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference. It's not like, that's not the word picture for peace in the scripture. So you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Okay. One more. And then we're going to wrap this one up. Okay. The challenge of leadership is to be strong, but not rude, to be kind, but not weak, bold, but not a bully, be thoughtful, but not lazy, be humble, but not timid, be proud, but not arrogant, have humor, but without folly. Mm. Speak to that one.
Love that. That's one of, actually, I love that quote. I've heard that quote many, many times. I mean, there's so much there. You could have a whole podcast just on that one quote, right? Like that, like how do you even start to dive into that? But the idea of, like, for example, being, what was the humble one?
Yeah. Strong, but not rude, kind, but not weak, bold, but not a bully, thoughtful, but not lazy, humble, but not timid, proud, right, but arrogant, humor without folly.
Right. So let's just take the humble, but not timid one, right? Like where, like all of those things may require some sort of balance, right? Humans are really good at getting on a train and just riding it, right? Like, so I'm gonna be humble. I wanna be a humble person, right? And the next thing you know, because like you've like decided you're gonna be humble, you become a doormat that people just walk all over. Or on the other side of that, like I'm gonna stand up for myself. I'm gonna be a proud whatever. And next thing you know, you become this bully that's just, you know, leaving people in your wake everywhere you go. Yeah. And maintaining that balance, man, as a person of faith myself, like, you know, I don't know the audience on your podcast, you know, what people think, but as a person of faith, I have to look to my faith and to my understanding of who God is and who I am to keep me in line with all of those, I guess, would dichotomies be the right word for that?
Yeah.
Because all of them are complicated, but yeah, all of them are so true. Like those are things that when you can walk in those things, they become powerful.
And yeah. You're talking about that dichotomy, which struck me, I was thinking of in the Proverbs where Solomon's talking about truth and mercy, mm-hmm, right? You couple truth and mercy, you have something. So you don't have to be truthful. I have to tell them like it is, right? No, tell them truth with mercy, the way that you'd want to be told. And that's very much like this, you know, strong but not rude, kind but not weak, bold but not a bully, humble but not timid. And I think it's so easy for leaders to go off the rails that, I think he's just summarizing leadership so well in that quote. Hey, listen, I try to keep every episode fairly short, and we're about bucking up against the limits of my time. But before I go, tell us, tell the audience what you do, and about your camp in California and that kind of thing.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Hume Lake Christian Camps. We're a camp organization. Our main property is out here in California, kind of central valley of California, up in the mountains, Sequoia National Park. We have a very large camp here, beautiful ministry where we get to see kids come and their lives transformed in all kinds of fun, cool ways. I happen to be over the activities department, so everything from aquatics to zip lines and everything in between. I get to oversee the staffing, the training, the policies and procedures for all of that. At not just our property here in California, we also have a camp in Massachusetts. We have another property in Southern California. And then we do offsite camps where we'll rent facilities to run camps in different areas. So I get to be a part of that and help oversee, make sure people are doing the right thing when it comes to those areas. And it's been a lot of fun. Been with Hume for 6 years now.
Yeah. So if anybody is interested and wants to get a hold of you or the camp or whatever, they would contact you how?
The easiest way would be to send me an email at T as in Timothy, T Prairie at humelake.org. Or you can just find our website. It's Hume, HUME.org. And you'd be able to probably look me up in the staff section on the website there. I'm not super website savvy, but I'm sure.
No. I'm a natural indoorsman myself. You and I are about opposite ends of that spectrum. So, so there's so much more to cover. Please come back in another episode and we'll go over Rome as he was talking about success rather than just about leadership. This is a podcast about leadership, but there's so many great success quotes that he has that I'd like to do another episode on that. You up for that?
I love it. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much. I hope that helps those that are listening become the kind of leaders that they would want to follow.
Thank you.